Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Texas border city of Eagle Pass is home to about 25,000 residents. It houses a branch of the Sul Ross State University Rio Grande College, which serves three communities in this part of the state. Inside the campus's Small Business Development Center, it's easy to walk by a display of posters on easels lined up along one side of the hallway and curving around the corner to come to an end near an exit. It's easy to miss, but it should be hard to ignore. Those posters came from the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. It's part of a traveling exhibition that marks an important moment in the civil rights movement. The exhibition, City of Hope, Resurrection City and the 1968 Poor People's Campaign, was previously on view at the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. It commemorated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision to end poverty in the U.S. The exhibit is on display at Sul Ross State University's Rio Grande campuses as a traveling poster exhibition. Elizabeth Riccardi is a project director with the Smithsonian Institution Traveling Exhibition Service. She says the exhibit highlights the last important movement in which Dr. King was involved before his assassination on April 4, 1968, the Poor People's Campaign.
And what they saw was that there was a gap and what was being provided to many of Americans. You know, rich and well-off people were getting one kind of services and one kind of opportunity, and poor Americans were getting something less than that. And so in December of 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King held a press conference where he said, we're going to try to address these issues. We're going to make a change for the American people. And that's how the Poor People's Campaign was started. And that was run through the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which Dr. Martin Luther King was a part of. And what they said was, to all Americans, come join us in Washington, D.C. this summer from May to June, and we're going to fight and we're going to protest and stand up for equal rights in the United States.
Dr. King was inviting Americans to take part in Resurrection City between May and June 1968. This was to be a tent city occupied by Americans of all colors and all walks of life to demand social reforms. A month before protesters traveled to Washington, King was assassinated. Organizers followed through with plans anyway, as a tribute to King. Community leaders presented a Poor People's Statement of Demands to government officials weeks after King's assassination. They demanded collective bargaining for farm workers, land rights for Native Americans and Mexican Americans, emergency food programs for the nation's poorest counties, public-private partnerships to create a million jobs in 1968 and another million by 1972, and new and affordable living housing units for low-income families. Protesters built Resurrection City from scratch. Elizabeth Riccardi of Sites says Resurrection City is one of the forgotten large movements in the civil rights era.
So Resurrection City, when they were planning the Poor People's Campaign, they knew they wanted to, and I'll use the word occupy, but occupy the National Mall. They actually had a permit to be on the National Mall for about 6 weeks. They were very strategic and very intentional about how they were going to do it. And so they created a plan for what they wanted Resurrection City to look like. It would contain places for people to live. It would have community centers where they're offered education classes, also contained a daycare center. So if people wanted to go to rallies and they couldn't take their children or they needed to go up to the hill and sit in on committee meetings, then they could do that and someone would be able to watch their children. And so it was really, they were creating this miniature city, Resurrection City, and a community around that. You know, I don't know why it's forgotten. It seems like such an important moment to me, these people coming together, not for a day, but for 45 days, to live and work beside each other to achieve something. It might be it's forgotten because in history, King being assassinated just a month before was such a huge moment in the U.S. It might also be that the Voting Rights Act or the March on Washington, which happened in, I believe, 1963. And so this was kind of the end of that, you know, marching on Washington era that was so big. So I don't know why it's forgotten, because it is such an important moment. I mean, these people were wading through the heat of the DC summer, which is not an easy thing to do. The National Mall actually flooded because it received some crazy amount of rain that summer. And so they were walking through mud every day. But throughout all of those trials, they were really working hand in hand to make a significant difference.
People from all over the U.S. traveled in caravans in a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. to take part in Resurrection City. The Poor People's Campaign stated, quote, "We come from the ghettos of the cities and the plantations of the South, from Spanish-speaking communities of this nation, from Indian communities, from the hidden poverty in the hollows of Appalachia, from the hot fields of Florida, Texas, and California. We challenge the notion to recognize our right to a decent life," end quote. A total of 8 organized caravans traveled a combined total of 13,000 miles from as far west as Seattle and San Francisco, and even included a mule train in the south.
It started in Marks, Mississippi, and people actually got on these mule-drawn carriages and trekked through the south. They went all the way from Marks, Mississippi to Atlanta, Georgia, and then the mules and the carriages and the people all got on a train and took the train up to Washington. So it's a really remarkable story. It's not only is it a mule train in the sense that there were all of these mule-drawn carriages in a long procession, but the mule train was on a train. So it's amazing to see, especially some of the photos of the mule train in D.C., which is this juxtaposition of kind of D.C. classical architecture against what rural Americans are dealing with. And you can really see the distinction between the two and that disconnect between the government and the people.
That's Elizabeth Riccardi, a project director with the Smithsonian Institution Traveling Exhibition Service. She's talking about the traveling poster exhibit, City of Hope, Resurrection City and the 1968 Poor People's Campaign. It's on display at the Sul Ross State University Rio Grande College campuses. When we come back, the changes protesters at Resurrection City were demanding haven't changed much in 51 years.
They needed to continue showing that their needs were active. The needs are present today. Those needs have not disappeared. On the contrary, I think they have increased, they have deepened.
More on Resurrection City and the Poor People's Campaign is next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
We are here because we feel a frightful sense of urgency to rectify the long-standing evils and injustices in our society: racism, poverty, and war. The Poor People's Campaign was conceived by my late husband, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., as America's last chance to solve these problems nonviolently. The sickness of racism, the despair of poverty, and the hopelessness of war have served to deepen the hatred, heighten the bitterness, increase the frustration, and further alienate the poor in our society.
Coretta Scott King made those remarks on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on June 19, 1968. It was Solidarity Day at Resurrection City, a temporary tent city that housed up to 3,000 protesters for 43 days on the National Mall. It was part of the Poor People's Campaign to bring attention to economic injustice and the lack of opportunity for millions of dispossessed Americans. The Smithsonian Institution Traveling Exhibition Service, SITES, has created a touring poster exhibit of a larger exhibition that closed earlier this year at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. The poster exhibition is currently making its way through the three campuses of Sul Ross State University, Rio Grande College. Veronica Mendez is Assistant Provost and Dean at Sul Ross State University, Rio Grande College. She and Laura Nelson, Director of Enrollment Marketing and Public Relations at Sul Ross, lobbied to bring the exhibit to the South Central Texas border region. Mendez says the exhibit exemplifies the aspirations of what it means to be human and our basic colorblind need for shelter, education, health care, and providing for our children.
It triggers the thought of this has happened in the past, and it brings our history to the present. So validates what we think now and removes, and I think this is very important, removes the racial issue. For me right now, given the what we are living and we have experienced in New Zealand, in Dayton, of course, in El Paso, and other places around the globe where attacks are being perpetrated because of race, I think it's time to think and reflect, and this exhibit gives that opportunity, that the aspiration is a common aspiration of humankind to have shelter, education, and it has nothing to do with race. And to reflect on the discourse, current discourse of political elites that want to make it an ethnical issue where it actually is related to the human being. I think it's very important that we present this exhibit so people can reflect about the needs of others and what are my needs. Where am I coming from? Who am I? Where am I going? Those are the common questions that regardless where you were born, regardless your status, regardless where you live, the language you speak, or the color of your skin, every single human being will face and will try to answer. My origin, my present, what's my future, what lies ahead? What am I transferring to my children? What are my values? How do I insert myself in my community, in my surroundings? And what the exhibit portrays is that aspiration.
There are people who don't look at the individual and who instead look at what we look like, what you look like, what I look like. How do you think this exhibit might help people to look beyond that?
By recognizing that we all have the same needs. We all have the same aspirations. It is clear when I see a picture in the newspaper of a man that has drowned with his child crossing the river, when I see a picture of people in a boat that are trying to get to the shore, I'm not looking at their color. I'm looking at their despair. I'm looking at their needs. I'm looking at their aspirations of a better life. And it's, in most cases, and this is very moving to me, they're bringing children, risking everything they have, and the most precious thing they have is their life, risking it for a better life for the younger ones. And we don't see skin. I don't see color. This exhibit will tell the community, I don't see color. We don't see color. We see what I'm standing for. Because in Resurrection City, they were standing for what they were, individuals believing in a better life for them and for their children. I think that's what was so moving. This was after Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And they still decided to move forward because they needed to continue showing that their needs were active. The needs are present today. Those needs have not disappeared. On the contrary, I think they have increased, they have deepened, regardless of statistics about employment. Still, poverty exists. People that lack opportunities or access to health care, it's rampant. Sometimes in certain discourses, I perceive certain disdain for those who want a better life for their children. And I don't think there's anything to be disdained for willing a better life for yourself or for your kids or for your parents or for your neighbor. Some discourses are very ambiguous, and that breaks my heart.
So the events that are highlighted in this exhibit, they are centered sort of around that one year, right? 1968, the whole civil rights era in the South. We're kind of sort of set apart from a good part of the traditional South here where we are in South Central Texas, where we're close to the border. It'll probably resonate more because of the recent hate crimes we've seen, especially in El Paso, targeting Hispanics. And I don't know if there's going to be any sort of civil rights uprising like we saw with blacks in the South, but I think we're sort of seeing a very similar type of targeting. You know, blacks were in the crosshairs in the South, and now it seems like Hispanics are because of this mass migration coming from Central America. So even though this exhibit is presenting 51 years of history, yes, it's still history that we're living today, it appears. The more things change, the more they stay the same, as the saying goes.
That's exactly it. That's what I think it's going to trigger, a reflection saying 51 years have passed and we have advanced in some areas of the country, but not in all areas of the country.
This exhibit points out that it included not just blacks.
Exactly.
It was Hispanics, whites from Appalachia. It was from the whole country. There's American Indians. There are people with, like, from Puerto Rico. They even had a Puerto Rico Day.
Yes.
And so it's everybody. It was very inclusive, which is something we don't see a lot today. In a way, it was a peaceful protest.
Yes.
Resurrection City was set up to bring to light the issues that poor people in the United States, no matter what their color, were facing at the time. And they were asking for very specific things. They wanted guaranteed income. They wanted expansion of food assistance for poor people. Those are just two of the specific demands that they had. As it turns out, many of those things were implemented later. And it was all because they shone a light on these things.
Well, again, these are arguments that are still being made today. We could easily just displace ourselves in time and have this happening right now. It's the same arguments now we've been having for 51 years.
And my question is, how many people, I don't recall studying this Resurrection City in any history class or social studies class that I ever had in my United States education, not in public school and not at the university level either. Maybe it was covered extensively at the time and we just, I don't know, dropped it and quit paying attention.
That's, again, selective history, right? Because, you know, we're living here in Texas where we hear, you know, one Texas story. So, again, this is just like another chapter of history that sort of gets conveniently tucked away for the greater narrative.
Absolutely. The idea was to prepare people for a greater understanding of what is poverty and how can you remove yourself from poverty, and also how the community organization plays a role in the betterment of the individual. So it was really a well-rounded protest in the sense of building social justice. And that's where you see clearly Dr. Martin Luther King. This idea of communities working for the betterment of the community, but with respecting the aspirations of each individual.
It's just fascinating. And you'll see in the exhibit the photos of people from all walks of life.
Yes.
People who were there even to just support those living in poverty. And I think this exhibit to me, shows America at its greatest.
That's
That's Laura Nelson, Director of Enrollment Marketing and Public Relations at Sul Ross State University, Rio Grande College. We also heard from Veronica Mendez, Assistant Provost and Dean at the same university. Mendez emphasizes that her comments do not necessarily reflect those of Sul Ross State University. The traveling poster exhibit, City of Hope, Resurrection City and the 1968 Poor People's Campaign, is presented by the Smithsonian Institution Traveling Service. It finished its run at the Del Rio campus of Sul Ross State University, Rio Grande College. It's currently on display at the Eagle Pass campus's Small Business Development Center through September 6th. The exhibit's final stop is the Sul Ross Uvalde campus from September 9th through October 4th. To see photos from the exhibit, log on to tpr.org.
We wrote this song in reference to the Poor People Campaign.
We close with a song written for the Poor People's Campaign by Frederick Douglass Kirkpatrick and Jimmy Collier. It's called Everybody's Got a Right to Live. It's credited to the Smithsonian Ralph Rinsler Folklife Archives and Collections. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we all go down in jail. Everybody's got a right to live. We are down in Washington, feeling mighty sad, thinking about an income that I've never had.